Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It is that time. Time for another episode of the Miracle Man Show. Here from Midland, Michigan, where I live, and it's great to be with you tonight here on Blog Talk Radio. And it's great to have you on the show with us, wherever you may be tuning in from. Excuse me, however you may be tuning into the broadcast, it's just so great that you would make that determination to join us tonight. And means a lot that you would do that. And we're out of time. We're at this minute just because of timing. There's a lot of different things going on. Of course, on Friday was Cinco de Mayo. The day before that was, May the 4th be with you. Actually, May the 4th be with you. But it has been known to, it has become known as May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
You know, from the old thing from Star Wars. And I've heard there's a true thing called Star Wars, which has to do with wars and like the sky and what have you. And I've heard Dr. Buckley mention it. But I don't understand what it is. What exactly is this real Star Wars?
I am not knowledgeable on that subject, actually.
On this real thing called Star Wars.
I've heard of Skynet.
This is something totally different.
Oh, I must not have that knowledge about it yet.
Because, and he's mentioned it, and I thought it was...
Is it Space Force that you're talking about? Space Force?
The one that the former president has started, I think that's different.
Okay.
That's totally different. That is...
Not connected.
Not connected to, like, the new, Air Force, Space, and all the different, forces.
Branches
all the
of,
different,
the government, of the
armed force.
Military. Yes.
Because Space Force was the newest one. Of those different, the different military forces.
Right.
Like the different, types of forces that we have. But there's a certain thing called Star Wars. The way he talked about it a couple of years ago didn't make it sound like it was anything to do with those movies at all.
Huh.
The truth of the matter is, listeners, I actually enjoy those movies. I like those movies. Aren't they doing another one this year?
I think you might actually be right about that.
They're not doing a Christmas release again, or are they?
I don't know.
Because whenever there's a Christmas release, I never watch it until after Christmas.
Oh, same.
Because I'm not going into the theater, between Black Friday and Christmas. Generally, I'm not going in there to watch something other than a Christmas movie.
And I don't know of many Christmas movies that had Christmas releases recently.
Whatever happened to the Christmas movies coming out in December or November?
They went to streaming sites, Netflix, Disney,
How come they're not doing them? Even before COVID, they weren't doing many recently other than The Grinch.
Maybe the movie industry is running out of fresh perspective.
For Christmas.
Yeah.
Because the last time that I know of, we had one year where in all of the year 2000, believe it or not, folks, the number one movie of 2000 for the whole year was actually a Christmas movie. It was The Grinch.
Really?
Yeah. That's kind of a shocker that it ever happened in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah.
The number, you would think it would have been something like X-Men or something, maybe.
Yeah.
Not like, because you feel like you remember X-Men being another big one from that time.
Right, but The Grinch, really? Okay.
Especially,
if you say so.
Especially with November... The 17th release. And I actually had went to see it that very day. up in Houghton Lake. My mom was going to Nebraska for some certain project, and I was up at my Uncle Jerry's for that weekend, and her husband, the now belated Aunt Debbie, his wife, the now laid to rest Aunt Debbie, she took me, my brother, my cousin Kelly, and like one or two of her friends to the theater up in Houghton Lake to watch that movie.
Mm.
And I thought it was a good movie. It's become great movie, actually. It's become one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Me too.
Since then, but I'm going to get off it because it's not, because we're not even halfway back to Christmas either. So,
right.
We're
jumping the gun here.
So forget it. I jumped the gun. It's not even Christmas in July yet.
Oh, goodness. You're right. It's not even Christmas in June.
Christmas in June is only a date marker, and here's why I say this. Because June the 25th is that halfway point.
Uh-huh.
And then I always think of this in May, you know, when we're halfway back to Black Friday.
Oh.
I do. Because I'm like, yay, we're halfway back, yay.
So it's Black Friday in June.
Nope, May.
So I
don't get why there's not a May Black Friday.
So is it Thanksgiving in May?
No, but to me there should be a Black Friday in May, like the fourth Friday of May, there should be a Black Friday. I'm anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That is not online, ever.
No, it would have to be like local stores Black Friday.
No, it's at Target, Walmart.
Oh.
Some of it, but the big stuff, it's in Walmart, it's at Meijer, it's at Target, it's at Best Buy.
Okay.
It's in every mall.
Okay.
You name a mall, it has it.
Okay.
Memorial weekend. Yep. Yay, I win. You get my idea. And of course you see why I would say yay, I win.
Yes, of course.
Because you think about it, folks. It would always be the Friday right before Memorial Day. And my theory behind this is, you know, and for many people, you know, it's like the day after the last day of school in basically every southern state is either on that day or has come and gone. And our local district here in the city last year actually had their last day on that Friday before Memorial Day, which I think we were like one of the only school districts. We might have been like one of only like, I would say, three school districts in Michigan that did that.
You think?
Yeah, not many districts did that.
Hmm.
At all.
You know, as a parent of children in the public school system, I feel like I need to do some homework on my district knowledge because you know way more than I do.
As far as like
district schedule.
As far as like dates and stuff, which is of course there's a website called Public Holidays that has so many school calendars on it, but it doesn't have your those silly, you know, no, not silly, but I mean your the professional development days or, you know, teacher parent conferences on it. But it does have the major breaks on it.
Okay.
Generally, it's publicholidays.com, and it's like. And, you know, you'll choose your state, then you choose your district from in the state. And I'm like, and in so many states, I mean, in southern states in particular,
uh-huh.
you'll have county school systems. You've heard of that, right? Like in Alabama, that's how they do it a lot of times.
Okay.
Like in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, to a big degree, Tennessee, Kentucky, a lot of your southern states do it that way. But nonetheless, Mother's Day. Okay, we have Mother's Day, because I was talking a little bit ago about how we have all these different days come that have either come and gone or soon to be. And Mother's Day is Sunday. And just think about it. You would not be on this earth None of us would be here on this earth without our mother. None of us would.
That's true.
Because she's the one who brought us in to the world. Everybody should have good memories of their mother. They really should. I really hope that you can find a good memory of your mother. I really hope so. So do you think throughout this week, heading into Sunday? Because I know so many moms try to have their best interest of their children.
Yes.
But there's some who don't. But I hope you can at least find one good memory of yours, even if your mother did not have your best interest. Because unfortunately, there are those mothers. There are those fathers. There are those, you know, and even good. And for some of you, you know, maybe your grandmother had stepped up to the plate. A grandfather.
Yeah.
And where they did, you know, that's wonderful of them that they would do that. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I have good memories of my mom and it's always cool when you have those little things like where either you think or you feel like only we do that. It's just us, you know?
Yeah, it's like special with your mom.
Or like you, I would hope you would with your mother, whatever. Like whether it be this certain sandwich or whether it be this certain, you know, just certain things. It doesn't always have to be food, but you get the idea. Like it could be a certain thing, a certain, you know, game, a certain,
yeah.
You know, like where it's just a you guys thing,
yeah.
and it's like whatever. It's like that thing of this thing just stays with us, you know.
Yeah.
I don't mean like the whole, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but I mean like the thing of this thing just stays with us.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's our little family thing that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's things like that we've done, you know, that might be different from what is, you know, common. Like, example, again, I know it's not June, July yet, but just and I'm thinking about it, tradition. We for so many years, we often would open our, December 25th presents, so, you know, we'd open a couple on, a lot of them on December 24th. I just said that because I didn't want to say the C word again.
Oh, yes.
So that you know I'm actually saved, I'll say it, Christmas presents.
Yes.
our Christmas presents, and we'd open a lot of them on the 24th, and then usually on the 25th, we would open up what Santa had brought for us.
Okay.
And I know in so many different households, it's very common for people to open everything on the 25th. But the way I see it, you know, we have done a lot of it on the 24th. I never asked my mom why necessarily, but in my mind, I always feel like since the 24th is one of the Christmas Eve, that makes sense that why you would open some stuff on the 24th of December.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the things that we do in different holidays. You know, there might be different things, or maybe it's certain places that you go to, you know, when you go to, you know, on vacations to certain places, if there's a certain place that you often like to go, as to me, there's various places that I enjoy going.
Yeah.
One of them, like sometimes it can be like certain restaurants like when you're on vacation to a certain city and state, like, you know, like certain places in like Tampa, Florida, or Chattanooga, Tennessee, and some of the and you know, if you're ever with your parents going somewhere, like, you know, even in adulthood, even then it becomes traditions if it's you and your parents somewhere, you know.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's in, just because it's in your adulthood doesn't diminish it at all. It
right.
doesn't, and it shouldn't.
No.
Because like this whole thing, like I said, with Tampa, it's been in like the last 3 years, and I'm 33 now. Does that diminish it at all?
No.
No, not to me. To me, it sure doesn't. It doesn't diminish it one bit compared to what it was if I was like six.
Right.
In fact, I'll remember it more now than when I was six. You know, possibly.
Yeah.
Depending on how your memory was at six, you know.
That's true.
depending on that, it just all depends on that. But we all have that thing of, you know, your mother taught you to eat your vegetables, and she taught you that beds are not trampolines, and neither is this chair. It's not a trampoline. Mom, if you're listening, why can I hear you saying, sit down, Rip, sit down.
Yes.
That's not a trampoline.
Yes.
And if you heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever heard that phrase about mothers with their children?
River.
If you've heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times.
Rivers, I have. I live that phrase every day. I have heard it once. I've heard it a thousand times.
Have you heard your kids say it yet?
No, but I have said it to them.
I heard it once from my mother.
Well, with my children, they were making excuses. Child number two, newly nine, and he loves to run into the room already making excuses. And I haven't even said a word to the kid. I haven't even said hi. And he's already got his whole plan. He's already, you know, I'm the victim. It was not, I didn't do it. It was that. And I'm like, Kenji, you don't even know why I called you in here. I could be offering you cookies for all you know.
Whoa.
I'm not, but if I have heard it once, I have heard it a thousand times from you, son. And it's just the way that it is. But I say it to my kids in that context all the time.
Because there's truth to that, though, over the years, when it comes to your mother. If you've heard it once, you've heard it a thousand times. There can actually, over the course of, you know, the time you'll have with your parents, you know, over the years, you've heard it once for some things that will have been a thousand times.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it takes you less than a thousand times for your kid to realize that bed in their bedroom is not a trampoline.
Oh, you know, I count myself lucky because I have four little monkeys that have had to learn not to jump on the bed. But the youngest is four, and it's four of four, so that feels like it's a win for me.
Is she still jumping?
Nope, not anymore. She's early. Yeah.
I had jumped some at eight still.
Really?
And I was being told, that is not gymnastic equipment.
Yeah.
From a baby center.
My neighbor's kids came over for a sleepover, and I heard one of them jump down off of the top bunk. And he's 11, so he's a bigger kid. But I was like, excuse me, whose house are you in? And he was like, yours? And I was like, that's what I thought. Don't ever let me catch you doing that again. You won't be invited back.
And over a trampoline.
No, over him jumping off the bed.
Oh, he jumped off it. He wasn't jumping
off
the top bunk.
Oh, wow.
He could have fallen.
Yes, and he jumped off the top bunk and landed on the ground, which is why I said what I said to him.
That is a fall hazard in cap letters.
Yeah, and he was 11. He knew better. So I will even I will even correct other people's monkeys from jumping on the bed.
Because we're talking like, you know, possibly a 105-pound kid or something, maybe 98 or something like that.
Maybe 70.
I would have been in the 90s.
Yeah, he's a spindly little guy. He's a skinny dude, skinny kid. Also, Kenji is 9 and he weighs 40 pounds even. My son Kenji.
Why are the kids of today smaller than what we were?
I don't know. I know that Kenji's smaller because my husband is short. He's 5'4". I do know that this kid that is 11 and I said was probably 70 pounds, his mom is 5'1". So he also comes from, you know, a shorter parent. So that could have something to do with it, is that they're just going to be small people. Possibly.
I think it's that they're not feeding us like they used to in the 90s. Dog on it.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Not giving us enough food.
Not giving you enough preservatives.
No. It's called not giving us enough food.
Oh, no. See, that's not the case because I feed my kids just fine. I'm very, very conscious of my kids' nutrition, and they still have one that only weighs 40 pounds.
Not talking about you as a mom, but I feel like some of the kids of today, like, don't eat as much as they did in the 90s.
I don't know. I would hope that they were. I would hope that eating has stayed the same. I would hope. But I think that the food that is presented is not as nutritious.
And not as much as what it was in the 90s, you mean?
Yes.
Really? Because...
I think there's a lot of empty calories in it.
Back in the 90s, it takes the kids to McDonald's. They all want Sprite. Most of them want Sprite or Coke.
Yeah, they want that, but that's
I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about back in the 90s. That's what they were taking.
Well, I was never allowed soda, even in the 90s. I was allowed to have root beer, I think, because it was caffeine free.
You were not one of the kids who was just going to that Coke fountain because you were at McDonald's to get a Sprite.
Nope. I was a lemonade, high C, fruit punch kind of gal. I loved the Fruitopia. The strawberry Fruitopia was the best McDonald's drink ever. It was the best. They had the blue Powerade for such a long time, and I loved that too. I would get the 32 ounces of blue Powerade.
You would get the 32 ounce at like the age of 9?
Yeah, because it was Powerade, and Powerade was healthy. It's actually not, but you know, 9-year-olds think it is. So you know.
And what were these power bars that would be in a lot of elementary school cafeterias, these Power Alley bars or whatever they were.
Those were meal replacement bars.
But some of them were rather sweet and sugary. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do, yeah.
Do they still have them now, or did they all get banned and replaced?
Oh, no, they still have them. They've just remarketed them as something else.
What are they called now?
Meal replacement bars.
What were they called then? Power bars?
Power bars, yeah.
What were the specific ones that they would have been giving us kids?
Cliff bars.
And they kind of had like a certain, but they were like rather sugary even, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, they were super sweet, yeah. They were also super high calorie, but they were also very nutrient dense. They had a lot of protein, they had a lot of carbs, they had a lot of fiber.
I thought the Clips had like a rather very high sugar content on them.
They do, but it's natural sugar.
Do we still got them, or did they get rid of them?
We still got them.
Where are the ones that would have been sent, that would have been given to me at Mills Elementary breakfast time? Where are they?
Probably at the grocery store.
Because I thought they like got rid of them, banned them.
No, I don't think so.
Does every school district still have them, or do they ban them?
I don't know if the school districts have those bars anymore, but I know that you can purchase those bars at grocery stores, just, you know, willy-nilly off the shelf. They're right next to the Nutri-Grain bars, the ones with the fruit inside of them.
Because also, I remember they also would give us a banana loaf, a blueberry loaf, like bread type thing.
I made some of those muffin loaves today.
A milk, and guess what? A juice.
Yeah.
Sometimes we got an apple juice and an orange juice.
Yeah.
So they loaded us up on sugar sometimes in second grade.
Oh, yeah.
They loaded us up on sugar. Would I do the same thing with the kids of now? Yeah. What was this carbonated juice drink we would have gotten? Do you know what I'm talking about? Or at least
I don't
like
know
carbonated?
What you're talking about. No, I don't know what you're talking about.
But do you know what bread loaves like these school districts would have been giving the kids?
I don't, but housekeeping.
Housekeeping?
You have housekeeping to do.
Okay, so I got a couple of quick things to do. So I just kind of thinking. Parents, if you know where those bread loaves are, send them to me. Just kidding. Because I want to see where the ones are that were actually from the 90s.
Right.
Do you know where those are or no?
I don't.
Because there was banana loaf, blueberry loaf.
I don't know where those came from, but I do have the pan to make those, and I made some today. I baked some muffin loaves, and I made the birthday cake muffin loaf, and then I made a double chocolate muffin loaf.
Oh, there's birthday cake loaves.
I made it.
Where were those for me?
Well, they're at my house. I made them from scratch.
I mean, where were they to be given out at breakfast right before school started?
Oh, yeah, they didn't have those then. You just have to know somebody cool to get those kind of things.
Like to have them brought to the kids. You know, because that's what I would have been giving the kids, the birthday cake ones.
Yeah.
And sometimes the apple cinnamon Cheerios. You say, are you afraid that you learn to like those things from school? No.
No, there's nothing wrong with muffins.
Or those apple cinnamon Cheerios.
No, those apple cinnamon Cheerios are delicious.
And those Apple Jacks. Not Cracker Jacks, but Apple Jacks.
Not a big fan of those, but we really should continue.
All right, housekeeping. Honestly, but, you know, anyhow, it's Mother's Day. We'll continue on that. Tomorrow, hashtag, you know, bad as they're not, trampolines. And your mother told you, don't eat all that sugar. okay, nonetheless. Okay, really, first of all, I do want to remind you about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It is the story of my life, how great God has been over the years. And he's just, I just think, you know, where would we be without him? And I know it's Mother's Day week, and I can think, you know, some people you might think, you know, where would I be if it wasn't for my mother? Obviously, if it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be born. But beyond that, for me, in my life, where would I be now without God? Where would I be right now without God saving my life when I was in a hospital at young ages, at very young ages, you know, and them telling me that I would not carry myself past age 8 and would die by age 12. I think you can probably figure out what I would extremely likely be right now without God.
Right.
Dead. I would be dead. My body would be dead in a grave. But honestly, I firmly believe that I would be in heaven with my Savior, Jesus, because I did accept Jesus Christ and as my Lord and Savior at an early age. But anyhow, it's the story of my life and how great God has been. And guess what? You get two testimonies in that book for the price of one, because you also have some of my mom's testimony in that book and how she was able to get free from some things that she had been dealing with in her life, some things that she decided to clean up when she had found out she was pregnant. Actually, you know, she had found out she had went for help Halloween night of 1988. She didn't know yet that she was pregnant for me, but she was, good thing she went in there, you know, for help and try to find a good church and trying to, you know, clean herself up, and because she had not been right with God. She had not been right with God. She decided to get right with God. She had born up, she had grown up in a family where her father was a pastor. Her father was a pastor. Yet for like 11 years, she hadn't found herself in a church. 11 years.
Don't give away too much.
Sorry about that. I won't, but I was just saying that.
It's a really good read.
It's an extremely good read. You'll be so glad you read it. And I pray that when you read that book, I pray honestly that it builds up your faith.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, then your faith barometer must be so low that it must just, like, be way down in the negative. If it doesn't even increase it, it better increase it.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's good that you laughed. You know, it shows that people pay attention. But
right.
nonetheless, but it's a great read. Go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book. Again, that is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com to find out info about the book. And we wrote it about 3.5 years ago. But God is still God. And the word is the word is the word. And the word never changes. And the word never gets old. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so, amen. So vow yourself to that. You know, maybe that could be a good Mother's Day gift to give your mother. You know, maybe your mother hasn't read that book.
Ooh.
You know, maybe you're thinking of, you know, what am I going to get my mother for Mother's Day? Maybe a mother-to-be that you might know.
Yeah.
Can show her, you know, a good way, you know, like, here's how we did it. The other thing I want to remind you about really quickly before we get into some worship is the PayPal. You can go online to PayPal in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. When you sow your seed into the program, I always thank God. You know, I always ask God to bless your seed. And I always, you know, thank God that you've sown the seed. And as you prepare to sow your seed, if you've got one to sow, it can always be good to think in your mind, maybe even write down, what am I sowing the seed for? What am I believing God for to do on my behalf? Maybe you're believing for your prodigal son or daughter to come home. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're believing for your body to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
For the healing of your spouse. Maybe you're believing God for for
that
transportation.
Raise.
Maybe you believe in God for, you know, that raise, that whatever it is, you know, that you're believing God for, you know, to change that situation that you might be asking him to change. You know, I don't know what you all are believing for. You all, same thing. But nonetheless, you know, I don't know what you're dealing with. God does. And, and then all of you just pray to God and he'll deal with that stuff for you. Amen. And go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you'll type in my name, Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please keep in mind, if you would, kindly please keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing that I want you to keep in mind related to that, the first R in Rivers, the S and then the S in Shukla, both of those, there's a capitalization on them. So the first R and the S are capitalized. So please keep a note of that in your mind as you prepare to sow your seed. And the verse I want to sow into your life is give, and it shall be given unto you. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Didn't say tithe, and it shall be given. Didn't say pray, and it shall be given. Didn't say fast, and it shall be given. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Breath down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with whatsoever measure you give, it shall be given unto you. And well, that's a great verse that you can stand on as you, you know, prepare to sow your seed. Because I believe that even though I don't take, you know, I don't necessarily use time on my program to, like, quote unquote, you know, always take offerings, but I'll tell you, you know, how you can sow your seeds. And as I do that, I always try to find a verse that you can stand on as you're sowing your seed, a verse that is based on, you know, giving, or one that is based on, you know, the tithe. Like, even though you don't necessarily tithe to me because I'm not a pastor, so I can't do necessarily the things that a pastor is to do.
At this point,
because it says, therefore bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me not, therefore, that I will not pour out the windows of heaven, open up the windows of heaven, excuse me, that I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have room to receive it. Yes, that's what I stand on. And so now I'm gonna got some music for you, and if we can start song number one.
Named.
Which is named We Praise You.
Okay.
So we're gonna start that one up.
Okay. I apologize for that.
Sorry about the miscue, folks.
Okay, ready?
Yep. Let a praise be a weapon that overcomes the enemy. Let a praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. When we sing in the dark, we're not in the remedy. When we sing where we are, then we all come proclaim your victory. Let it rise, let praise arise. We see you break down every wall.
Yeah.
We watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With our creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Let us praise you with a weapon that overcomes the raging sea. Let a faith be a weapon that calms the storm inside of me. Let it rise. Let faith arise. We see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. For fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. If our creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you. We praise you, oh. This is what heaven looks like. This is what heaven sounds like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. With our creeds survive when we praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side. Forever lift him high. With our creation cry, God, we praise you. We'll see you break down every wall. We'll watch the giants fall. Fear cannot survive when we praise you. The God has breakthrough on our side. Forever lift him up. With all creation cry, God, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Oh, we praise you. Lord, we praise you, Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. All right, we got Psalm number 2, Love Came Down.
That one queued up.
Cue me up.
Please.
Cannot. If my heart is overwhelmed and the darkness comes my way, when I feel your hand of grace rest upon me, staying desperate for you, God, though the road ahead gets deep, I will lift all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high and valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours. When my heart is filled with hope and every promise comes my way, I will feel your hands of grace rest upon me. I'm staying desperate for you, God, staying humble at your feet. I will lift these hands in praise. I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Love came down and rescued me.
Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. Excuse me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high and valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. I'm yours. Love came down. Let me free. Love came down and let me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out to remind my soul that I am yours. I am forever yours. I am yours. I am yours. All my days, Jesus, I am yours. I am yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number three, you are my champion.
Okay.
Roll it.
One moment. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. I tried so hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it. You'd use someone like me to carry your victory. You give what we don't deserve it. Compassion could never earn it.
Broken thing.
And you raise them to glory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place undefeated. By the one who has conquered it all. Yes, now I can finally see it. It took me so, teach me how to believe it. So let all the strifing cease. This is my victory. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place undefeated. By the one who has conquered it all. You have conquered it all. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority that Jesus has given me. When I lift my voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly peace, a voice undefeated. By the power of your name, I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated by the one who has conquered it all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the champion. You are the greatest of all time. You are the greatest of all time. You're the... You are the greatest. Thank you, Master, for what you are to us, for who you are to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're teaching us how to believe. You're teaching us how to receive. You are who you say that we are. I pray, Lord God, that these people would realize what it and would find out what is it that God says about us. Not necessarily, you know, just what do we say about ourselves, but what do you say about us? Because you think higher of us. What you think of us is higher than what we think. Yeah. And I thank you, Lord God, for us, and that we would see through this, Master. And I thank you, Lord God, that these listeners tonight have ears ready to hear. Your word, and that they're ready to receive whatever it is that you have for them at their own personal level, wherever they are. You know where they are, Lord God, even when I don't. And you know what they have need of. And I thank you that you meet every need represented by each and every one of those people. And I thank you, Master, that as we study your word tonight, that lives are changed, bodies are healed, marriages are fixed, prodigals come home. Mm-hmm. And I thank you, Master, for that in Jesus' name. And now I make my confession over this program tonight. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners will tune in to this program. And most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen, amen, and amen.
I want you to go with me, if you would please, to the book of Joshua 6. And
Joshua
6? Yep, we're going to Joshua 6. I'm going to start with verse 1.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. And I want you to be a part, listeners. Don't just sit there and just kind of listen and then somehow, you know, fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, it's on you. It's not me. You know, if you fall asleep. You're doing that at my show, then I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So at least pay attention, you know, as I study. You follow along. Don't just sit there and watch. You know, unless maybe you're driving, then maybe all you can do is listen. You know, but as I said, I'm going to Joshua 6, verse 1.
This is embarrassing. I don't think it's ever taken me this long to find.
Takes you too much longer. You'll be going to Jones.
I found it.
I was kidding.
Ooh, yeah. Don't.
My pastor has teased about it from the pulpit before.
Don't threaten me with that.
Okay. My pastor has teased from the pulpit.
Those kids are mine. I don't want to have to go there.
My pastor has teased about that.
I know.
I think it's funny when he does. Okay, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out. No one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all of the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets with ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city, not once, not twice, not 3 times, 7 times, and with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, have all the people whimper." Have them all yawn. Have them all yawn because they're tired. I'm sorry. Try this again. Some trumpets, some horns, as they are. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, and the priest blowing the trumpet. And when you hear them sound a loud blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout, not a whimper. He didn't say whimper. He didn't say yawn. He didn't say whisper, you know.
Yeah.
Like, give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man, straight in. And so Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests, and he said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and have 7 priests carrying trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city, and with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." And when Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went blowing their trumpets with the Ark of the Lord's covenant, but had followed them. And the armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day that I tell you to shout. Then shout." So we had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, with the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets, went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. And the Ark and the armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the second day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And they did this for 6 days. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak, marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day, they marched around the city 7 times. The seventh time around, when the priests sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, because the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and all who are with her in her house shall be spared, because she hid the spies that we sent, but kept away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All of the silver and the gold of the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go to his treasury." When the trumpets sounded, the people shouted. And at the sound of the trumpets, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. And every man charged straight in, and they took the city. They devoted the city to the Lord and destroyed with the sword every living thing in it, men, women, young and old, cattle, sheep, and donkeys. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, "Go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her in accordance with your oath to her." So the young men who had done the spying went in and brought out Rahab, her father and mother and brothers, and all who belonged to her. They brought out her entire family and put them in a place outside the camp of Israel. Then they burned the whole city and everything in it. But they put the silver and gold and the articles of bronze and iron into the treasury of the Lord's house. But Joshua spared Rahab, the prostitute, with her family and all who belonged to her, because she hid the men that Joshua had sent as spies to Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. At that time, Joshua pronounced this solemn oath: "Cursed before the Lord is the man who undertakes to rebuild this city, Jericho, at the cost of his firstborn son, will he lay its foundations. At the cost of his youngest, will he set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout the land. So folks, we see there,
7:36 p.m.
Jericho, you know, was a city, it was a chief city, you know, of that day. And, you know, the only people that God had Joshua save, the only people that Joshua, that God had Joshua save was Rahab, mm-hmm. who was actually a prostitute.
Yep.
And her family.
But only the ones inside of her
house. Think about that. Only the ones who were in her house. Only those people who were in her house. Let's think about this. He only had her say, a prostitute. No one else in that city. Everyone else in that city.
Perished.
Was killed.
Every last one of them.
Every living thing.
And then it was burned.
And then they burnt the thing. They burnt the city. And no one was coming in. No one was coming out of that city. It was like it had a big wall around it. And no one was coming in. No one was coming out at all. And God had them march around that city. He had a march around it, you know, and he had Joshua, he told Joshua what to do, how to go about it, how to have the people go about it. Here's what you do. Here's how you do this. Here's what you say. Here's how you say it. I can't see in there where Joshua said, oh my goodness, look at how specific. God, do you have to be so specific? Do I have to do it a certain way? I have to?
Right.
I don't see where Joshua sat there and yelled that at God. You know?
No.
And I would have been like, I know myself, my own natural mind, I've been like, what do you mean we don't get to have a marching band? What do you mean we don't get to have a marching band? What do you mean we don't get to do this? What do you mean we don't get to do that? Because, you know, if they get to do that for the 7 days, you know that's what I'd be thinking, don't you? You know that's what I'd be thinking.
Because
our carnal minds will do that. And then it'd be so easy for me to be like, yeah, I'll just go and be by them.
Yeah.
And you know I would, too. I would too, but that's beside the point. Honestly, you know, he told them something to do if they wanted to get what was theirs, if they wanted to go up and take possession of the land that had been given to them. If they were to go and take possession of it, there was something that God wanted them to do and was asking them to do first. And that was to march around that city. And then they were, you know, first day, seven times. Second day, seven times. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, seven, one time apiece. For one time each of the first 6 days. And they're thinking, you know, this isn't so bad. You know, I know having to march around that whole city, maybe, you know, might be a little bit, you know, kind of a lot. And it doesn't show us in there where the people were like, oh my goodness, on the seventh day, we have to march around the city seven times.
That, but you can't make a sound the whole time.
Oh, you can't make a sound either.
No.
So it's not like they get to do it it's a pep rally.
No, exactly. It said right in the beginning of your reading, at the beginning of chapter six. Don't let a noise come out.
Don't say a word. No pep rally. No,
yes, 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 yes.
Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard,
nor let a word proceed
out of your mouth
until
the day I tell you shout.
So that
then
meant,
you shall shout.
So that meant they had to be silent all week.
Yeah, they had to be silent for a week.
I can just see all those little kids sitting there. What?
Oh, my goodness.
I
could not imagine my
either of your four kids.
Well, just imagining what it would be like if I had been a mother with four children in the desert around Jericho, and our holy prophet is telling us that God has told him these things, and I will just want to be a good Jewish mother. I only have two arms. How am I going to cover all four mouths at once? How am I going to do it?
And, of course, we don't want to ask God to mute their mouths either.
I would, actually. That would be very ideal.
Can you just mute them for a week?
Yes. Dear Lord, please allow my children to all get laryngitis. Laryngitis for a week. That's it. That's all we need.
Or laryngitis.
No talkie.
No, like there will be no talking.
No.
And all these kids will be sitting there. I can imagine all the Israelites, all their children. What? I can imagine just every one of those children.
I can imagine all of the adult men saying what?
Yeah, let alone all the children. Oh, especially the daughters who always have something to say. All the wives always have something to say. Always.
And you have experience with daughters and wives?
I haven't had them, but it's true what happens. It's true how women are.
Okay, let's go back to the reading.
But I'm just saying it's just a matter of fact.
Okay.
That's all. Just fact. Not like, I've had something that I haven't had, but nonetheless, God gave them specific instructions that they were to follow if they wanted to receive what was theirs.
Yes.
And some of them might have been thinking, I'm sure some of them might have been thinking, oh, I thought it was already ours. I thought we didn't have to do any of this extra stuff. I thought we could just, go up there and just take it. Now, the people of Jericho, there were people still in Jericho who were alive that were not Rahab's, the people who were living in Rahab's house.
Uh-huh.
And God had him go up there. He told Joshua, and he said, Joshua, go up there, tell them, go first tell the people what they are to do, how they are to do it. And, the word Joshua or Yoshua is where we get the name Jesus from.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yoshua, when you get that, you get Jesus is where you get, but he was, he had taken over for Moses after Moses had died. And Joshua didn't sit there and go, what? When he found out Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. What if he did? Yeah.
I'd rather out.
Who knows? I don't know. If he had done that when God said, Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead.
Yeah.
But before we get to the marching, the people were to cross the Jordan. They were across the Jordan. And that was another Red Sea-ish type thing because God dried up the Jordan for them.
Yep.
So which was essentially Red Sea 2.0.
Yep.
And the thing is he is still parting Red Seas today. He's still drying up Jordans for us. By the way, folks, I'm not talking about Air Jordans.
No.
If you're wearing those still, more power to you. But the Jordans I'm talking about is the Jordan River, not the Jordan shoes. I actually had a pair of those at one point. Not the Air Jordans, but back around the year 2000.
Yeah.
I did have did you ever have a pair of Jordan shoes?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow. I had some Shaquille shoes.
Really?
Yes, back around like 2002.
You know, Shaq and Michael Jordan didn't really do ladies' shoes. If they had some Mary Janes that were athletic, I bet you I would be running those real quick. But yeah, they didn't really do athletic shoes when I was little. They didn't really do athletic shoes for girls that were big names like Shaq and Jordan.
More of a thing now.
Yes.
Okay, but in all seriousness, though, folks, you know, God gave them something to do, and you'll see that was, and this whole thing of they're the reason behind why he had them do that, and then when they shouted, you know, that wall fell. Sometimes you got to praise God in order to get that wall in your life to fall. Whatever that wall is that's trying to keep you.
Yeah.
What are there? Because some of us, you know, we have a wall. There's a wall there. What is it? Is it fear? Is it what is that wall?
Well, and not only that, but some people have this wall in their life and they see it and they hear God's instructions and they run up to the wall and they shout. And they didn't do any of the walking. They didn't do any of the quiet. They didn't do any of the stillness that was required for that wall to fall down. And they're so confused. Why is my wall not falling down? I shouted to you, Jesus.
They didn't seek his face. They didn't pray.
Nope.
They didn't ask for guidance.
Nope.
They didn't, you know, they just think that they can come up to that wall. They just think, this wall, shout, fall.
No.
I mean, like, that's just what they'll think.
Right.
Fall, shout, fall.
And you know, it's that the symbolism of walking around the city once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day walking around it seven times. The symbolism for that is just, like, you know, us, a lot of times Christians were told, you know, praying God will be in control of the things. And so we do, and we expect that, you know, I don't know if expect's the right word, but I guess we'll roll with it. Those, you know, that instant God moment. We don't expect the honey-do list God moment.
We just expect it to be like a Vegas thing, like where it's like we
a
just do it.
Da,
da, da, da, da.
Yeah.
We just think it'll be like we can just push the button, instant jackpot.
Yep.
Yay, I win.
But that's not what it is.
It's not like that. It's not like heaven is the casino, God is, and there is the jackpot. It doesn't work that way.
No, it does not.
So that idea, like, where you can just go, you know, play that, you know, here's the game, play the game, here's what happens. Da, 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 da. Nope, not the way it works. Not the way it was designed by God.
Yes, but the people of Israel did do what they were told.
They did what they were told. You know, in this case, they did what they were told, because they were told, you know, what they were to do. And this was after the 40 years in the desert, and they didn't want to do that again.
No.
Didn't want, They don't, I wouldn't want to do be in the desert for 40 years all over again, all because of, you know, disobedience.
Right.
And God actually made it so that all those with the 40 years, that they would die.
Yeah, and they would never see.
That they would never see it because of the spot, because God had, Moses had sent 12 men to go check out, to go scope out the promised land, as we would say, as some people would say, might say now, especially back, you know, especially 20 years ago, you would hear that, you know, scope it out.
Yeah.
I don't hear people really say scope it out anymore. You don't either?
No.
But 20 years ago, you sure would.
Yeah.
They would say, go, so it'd be like in that term, some of you people want to know about this, go scope it out. Go, you know, like, go check it out. Take a look, you know, see what it's like, you know, what's the city's like. You know what's the food like? How many biscuits and gravies are there? Wait, oh, I'm sorry, it doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that.
I would like to think that it does. Is it Sweet Home Alabama? Oh, it's not that either. But like, you know, how's the land? Is it fertile? Is it all the different things that it would And 10 of them said, no, don't. They said, you know, there were giants. They were afraid because there were giants. The truth is, though, as if you live here on this earth, there's going to be some giants. There's going to be some giants.
Yeah.
They're not going to be animals. They're not going to have an animal face, necessarily. They're not always going to be, you know, where you had to, you know, actually, you know, kill a giant animal.
7 minutes.
Or whatever. You know, it won't always be like that. But, you know, but if you got these walls in your life, God wants to help you get rid of those walls, and take those walls down and not stay subject to those walls, whatever those walls might be. Could be depression, could be discouragement, could be, could poverty, that, what, could be different walls that could be in your life.
Yeah.
And the truth is he's given us power over sickness, power over disease, power over fear. Because he wants us to be freed from all those things, not so that we would just, you know, stay bound by those things.
Right.
Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord God, for the show. Thank you for every listener who either listened to it live or will listen to the recording on the website. I pray, Lord God, that you would just minister to each and every one of these people. I pray that they would deal with themselves and that you would help them, you know, whatever walls they might be dealing with in their life that they can see through this, and these walls can begin to fall for these people, and that miracles will happen for them. And I thank you, Jesus, for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
And then until tomorrow night, God first, God always. Everybody, and I will talk to you all tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.